This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Talk some Bills with Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post Standard, Syracuse.com. Good to join us on a Tuesday afternoon as he does every week here in the sports bar. Matt, I want to try and turn the page from what we saw on Sunday night as quickly as possible when so much went on. I want to try and be logical and think to myself that the Bills aren't as bad as what we saw on Sunday night. The Ravens aren't as good as what we saw on Sunday night. And those kind of losses don't happen too often under Sean McDermott. We expect a different outcome come this Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game, right? And if you take the totality of the first four games, and that is one of them, of course, that's going to be the one that concerns you the most from a fan perspective, from an organizational perspective. You know, over the years, there's been these pockets of time where Sean McDermott, as good as that defense has been consistently, there's been times when they've really struggled against a really good physical ground game. And so those kind of fears start to pop up as well. I thought it was a good game plan, and I think it was a Bills team that just didn't adjust quick enough in a couple of key moments. You know, going back and watching that game, there was a couple of them over the course of that contest. Any little thing could have changed the course of it. I mean, the Keon Coleman drop, obviously the early decision on fourth and two, which, you know, I'm critical of it only from the perspective of you've gone the last 2 weeks, and I know you were a little bit closer to the goal line, but you've come up with ways, plays on fourth and 2 or 3 yards to find a way to sustain the drive. And I think against that team on the road, you don't want to let them get into their comfort zone. The Baltimore Ravens love playing from ahead. They love leaning into that ground game. And this is a team that's been gashed by big run plays before, and they're without three starters. I mean, I know we've downplayed this, and we've talked about Cam Lewis, and we've talked about Bailon Spector. And honestly, I think the two of them have done a really nice job considering, you know, who they're playing for. But I don't think you could discount the fact that, you know, Taron Johnson was so good in that game 2 years ago. It's one of the things I talked about going into the game, going back and looking in 2022. He didn't have a single missed tackle in that game against Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And Cam Lewis had four on Sunday. It's hard to overcome those moments. But, again, it's almost a good thing that that happened when it did, because now when there are going to be a couple physical run teams, you're probably going to see Christian McCaffrey down the stretch in December. I mean, you're going to be able to lean back on this game and what didn't go well. and from a Bills fans perspective, hopefully correct it.
Yeah, Matt, we have this one roster move, not officially from the Bills yet, but from Tom Pelissero. Zion Logan, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly, was a sixth-round pick of the Falcons this year, was on the practice squad, so that means he's free for the taking, but now the Bills must keep him on the 53, and I guess what would be the possibilities? You got to make room here. Does somebody perhaps go on IR? And is this kind of a message that, well, we need to kind of get better, whatever is at the defensive tackle position?
I don't know. There's a couple of moves they could probably make. I know they brought Will Clapp onto the 53-man roster. That could be something. I know they like to keep that number of offensive linemen on the team. Sean McDermott spoke to the media yesterday. And the only real update was that Taylor Rapp was in the concussion protocol, and it's pretty rare to see somebody go on IR in that kind of situation. So we'll have to wait and see what the team announces, but I'm not surprised they addressed the position. I thought that they were super light at defensive tackle, relying on a guy in Austin Johnson who I get his connection to Daquan Jones and everything, and you know Daquan Jones talked him up a ton in the offseason. But he's been pretty average, like a journeyman kind of guy that you're asking to kind of settle into that number three spot with Dwayne Carter, a rookie. You hope for the best, but it's you know they haven't been super comfortable giving him any kind of predominant role in the defense. They were almost forced into it the other day, and I think that's why they're going to bring in this guy who is absolutely massive. I mean, he stands like 6'6", 320. You know, it's a spot where they need to find more consistency. And I think it's ironic sometimes with the way that the Bills bring in guys on the defensive line. They do a good job of, like, you know, turning that over year to year and finding new pieces that get people excited. I think Tim Settle, you know, dampened a lot of the spirits over the course of his time here. But remember, when they signed him out of Washington, a lot of people thought he was going to be really good, and me included. I liked a lot of what I read. I liked a lot of what I saw, and he just never found a role here. He's in Houston now, and it wasn't great to let this last game. I don't think that the Houston Texans played a particularly great game, but he's had a really good start there for them, and you wonder why he wasn't able to ever find any track, any footing in the Buffalo defense. But they have to find some answers, and it's kind of been a disappointing start for Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, too, when those are the two guys you really need to lean on in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, inconsistent, I would say. And I'm curious if we know anything here going into a week of practice on the status of Terrell Bernard, on the status of Johnson, knowing that you've got Cam Lewis and those four missed tackles fresh from your memory on Sunday night. I mean, are we going to see a return of Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard, do you think, as soon as maybe this Sunday?
I think Bernard's the one that I'm really watching, and Sean McDermott kind of said that he's going to be the guy that probably has a chance at the very least to practice in a larger capacity than last week when he was in the red non-contact jersey. It still feels like Taron Johnson's a bit of a pipe dream working back from that injured forearm, but we'll have to see. Like if he works his way back into practice starting tomorrow, then we can really start to have the conversation. If he's not on the practice field tomorrow, I'm really hesitant to say that his chances are good. I'm not as concerned this week with even without both of those guys because you're not facing a very physical, solid run game. I mean, check this out, guys. Joe Mixon in week one for the Houston Texans runs for 159 yards, and everybody's talking about, whoa, wait a second here. The Texans going to be this dual threat, great running team. The last 3 weeks, and I know Mixon's been banged up, but the last 3 weeks, and he was part of the first game, they've totaled 164 yards in the three games amongst their running backs. So this isn't a team that's really scaring you on the ground, and I think it's going to be all about coverage. I think they do that really well, especially in their dime package. And I think Matt Milano or Bobby Babbage said it best yesterday when he was asked about Cam Lewis's play. It's like he's a guy that's going to be as motivated as anybody to get back and fix the problems that popped up last week and potentially have a bounce back performance this week. And I would actually bet on Cam Lewis, if he has to play, having a really good game and finding a way to make an impact, specifically because of the matchup.
Talking to Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest. Of course, there's one storyline. I'm sure the national media will kind of grab. I had to hear Collinsworth the other night say the Bills, you know, bring up Stephon Diggs. Yes, this is going to be a storyline. I guess as we're all going to revisit everything this week, Matt, here, do you expect that? Is there anything? What would be the chances we'll actually learn something that we didn't know? Part one of the question. And part two of the question, I guess, with the way the Bills handle things internally when it comes to situations like this, and Diggs himself, do we just kind of expect, you know, there not to be any quotes that'll be inflammatory, that everybody will be just kind of professional about this?
I mean, we kind of got a head start on it last week with Josh Allen going out of his way to bring up that his comments after the Jags game weren't any kind of veiled shot at former teammates. And I followed up and asked him specifically, and you know, he kind of mentioned that he's got all the love in the world for Stephon Diggs, and that's what I expect, actually, on both sides. And I know Diggs had that story in GQ where he kind of, you know, went in a little bit on the way that it ended and maybe some philosophical differences. And that's the thing with Stephon Diggs. Like, if he's not on board with the vision for an offense, like, he's going to check out pretty quickly. And I think both sides probably got to the point in that relationship that realized, you know, we needed each other when we got together, and over the course of the marriage, we realized that we both needed something different. Like, Stephon Diggs needs to feel like he's needed, he's going to be featured, even in Houston, with the way that sometimes it feels like they're forcing the ball to him, despite having this freak athlete in Nico Collins that is the obvious number one wide receiver. I'd imagine that becomes an issue over the course of the season, especially when Tank Dell, who's missed the last couple of games, gets back. We'll track his progress this week. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. And they have Dalton Schultz, who you can make an argument is a fringe top 10 tight end kind of guy. And, like, where do you go with all these targets? I don't know. And this is an offensive line for the Texans who I have a lot of questions about, especially being able to hold up in pass coverage or in pass protection. The one thing I really noticed watching that game, and that was a Jaguars front that had no success against the Bills offensive line a week ago, they were getting pressure on C.J. Stroud. 19 pressures in that game. They were only able to sack him twice. You have to, when you get back there and you affect him, you have to hit him. You have to get him down. He's a little bit slippery. He's not super mobile. He's not super quick. But if he gets off of that one look, he moves in the pocket and evades pretty well. So that's going to be something that I'm looking at this week. I don't think you're going to see any bulletin board material, especially on the Bills side, because I'd imagine those are part of the marching orders from McDermott this week.
You know, Matt, it's funny how one botched trick play shines a bright, like, interrogation light on all affected, right? Like, Joe Brady now, what are you doing with that play call at that time? And Curtis Samuel, can we find a way to use Curtis Samuel? You signed him to a 3-year deal, and he hasn't really put up any numbers through 4 weeks of the season. And Josh Allen, my God, is he okay? Protect yourself. What are we doing? I'm more curious about the Samuel piece of all that. I think Brady recognizes bad play call, bad time, won't happen again. Josh Allen is bumped and bruised. Everybody is this time of year. He's a warrior. He's going to be fine. But what do you make of their lack of usage or their lack of ability to find a way to use Curtis Samuel more in this offense? We came into with the expectation that the relationship with he and Brady from their time together in Carolina was going to equal sweet music, and we've yet to see it really, Matt.
I don't know. I wonder if there's any, like, subconscious, like, strain against overly involving Samuel because, and this is just me guessing, like, this is nothing that I've ever heard or anything like that, but, like, if you're Brady and all you've been talking about all summer is everybody eats, and then you turn around and you're giving a single guy that you have a history with, like, a big chunk of the target share, I don't know, maybe there's, like, a subconscious, you know, desire to lean into, maybe at your detriment at times, this model that everybody is going to be a part of the offense. Like, I don't know how you can look at that game objectively if you're the coaching staff and say that 6 targets and 1 catch is a good model for an offense for Mac Hollins. Like, I think you have to move completely away from that, especially in a game where when Curtis Samuel has been involved as a receiver early this season, and it's a very small sample size, good things have happened on those plays. And the thing, too, is, like, there's so much creative potential with him as a player. There's so many times he's in the backfield, and I'm like, okay, he's going to go in motion.
They're going to find a way to get him in on a running screen, get the ball in his hands, and it's like they don't. And even Dalton Kincaid's usage to another degree, and he's been more involved than Samuel, obviously. But there's so much opportunity. Like this week, if you could find a way to get him on Petrie, the safety for Houston, you have to spam that to a degree. And maybe that goes against the offensive philosophy, and then you're going to have to answer questions about, is Dalton Kincaid the feature piece of this offense? Well, maybe he should be. Maybe he should be because he's a first-round draft pick, and that's what we were kind of told that he was brought here to be, and it hasn't felt like that. Sometimes when I look down on the field and he's on the sideline, I'm perplexed because it's like he should be playing 80 to 90% of the snaps at least, and some people like to say he's not a great blocker. So what? Line him up outside. Put Dawson Knox in line. Like, he has to be on the field because he's one of your best players. He should have made that catch on the third down play. But, you know, for the most part, he's been about as reliable as you can get, and I just don't think that they've been smart enough with how they're trying to get to the ball in the hands of their true legit playmakers. Coleman, they did a good job of that in this last game. He had a lot of opportunities, made some, didn't make some. He's a rookie. But Kincaid, Shakir, Curtis Samuel especially, they got to get these guys going.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, Matt, it's a question. It's a storyline we've been talking about since Fisher, probably since before that. Are we comfortable, as you brought up, with the back end of this receiving core? And before you came on, we bring up the story about Davante Adams, and is he, you know, going to be on his way out in Vegas, the coach liking a post, whatever it is. You can't bet on this stuff in New York State, I should mention, but there are odds out there right now. And the team that has the fourth best odds to trade for Davante Adams, they're actually putting the Bills at plus 600. Matt, I would not advise that with the Bills cap situation, but I will ask you the question, like, and maybe I'm the first to ask you this because they're not coming up till that first Tuesday in November. I mean, are the Bills likely, if you had to say any position this year, it would be wide receiver they would be looking at?
I think it's defensive line. I'm going defensive line at this point over that, and that's an edge rusher, that's a interior defensive lineman. I mean, Sean McDermott basically said they couldn't put Von Miller on the field in that Baltimore Ravens game because of the situations, because he can't be out there in first and second down when you've got to be able to stop the run. That's trouble as arguably your number 1A or 1B edge rusher, depending on how you want to slice that up. I know Rousseau is probably the 1A at this stage in both of their careers, but you're paying Von Miller even with the contract restructure to be that. So I think defensive line is much more where I'd be. And the Davante Adams thing is tricky. If he's going to turn 32 in December, I think he's still a really good player, and I think that you add him to the mix here, and he becomes a bona fide A, and you almost like let Juan, I should say, and you let kind of Keon Coleman, you know, learn behind him and maybe like kind of try to find his – pick his spots to be a part of this thing, or maybe downplay Mac Hollins' role. I just think financially it's going to be almost impossible. And I also just – you know, I watched the receiver show, and – I've been watching this play out in Las Vegas, and I'm not down on Adams' reaction to all this. It's got to be tough to go there to play with, you know, your buddy Derek Carr, and then he gets shipped off, and everything that's happened with that team. But I just haven't loved the vibes around this guy. And look at some of the dudes that, like, the vibes have been a problem. Like Michael Thomas before it ended up blowing up in New Orleans. You have Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. I know he wants the contract, but how much has his body language, his general attitude, been a reason why they're losing? And I put Stephon Diggs last season in that same category. Some of the stuff around his relationships and his attitude. I just think the vibes sometimes are not worth adding to a situation that, despite the loss this last week, has been really good in Buffalo.
Well, Matt, one thing that we can say based on how the league has looked through 4 weeks, if you're just looking at the AFC East in a vacuum, it sure seems like the Bills' problems are minimal compared to the rest of the division, and that bodes well for the rest of the season and their chances of making the postseason. Before we let you go, I wanted to make sure you have plenty of time to tell us about what you and Ryan are working on the Shout Pod and what we can check out at Syracuse.com this week in advance of Sunday afternoon.
Well, I don't know if they have the banner up in New Jersey yet for the off-season Super Bowl championship that everybody was trying to hand out, but I do agree. I had Trey Wingo on the show today, this morning. We talked about this. I thought it was about as on the money a national perspective of the Jets as I've heard. I am very much just not a Robert Saleh head coach fan. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great defensive mind. I think that, you know, he'll probably end up being a great defensive coordinator somewhere after he eventually time runs out there. But yeah, I'm not a big believer in the Jets. I'm going to hang up here, and I'm welcoming him on Jonathan M. Alexander from the Houston Chronicle live on Shout. We're going to take an early look at Texans, Bills, talk a little Stephon Diggs, what it's been like out there and how these two teams kind of match up. We'll have our Staples show heading out to Houston on Saturday and just your usual coverage.
Nice. Matt, appreciate the time, and thanks so much. Looking forward to doing this again.
All right, guys. Take care.
You got it. Matt Parrino. He covers the Bills for Syracuse.com, Syracuse Post-Standard. You can hear he and Ryan Talbot on the Shout podcast. And, yeah, Trey Wingo with that national perspective. Always fun getting the national guy's perspective. But I really do like digging in deeper. Like, we're going to talk later this week. We're going to go to Houston. We're going to go to one of our favorites in Houston later this week to learn more about the Texans.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Seth Payne, Victor Native, will be joining us Thursday. And then Maggie Gray joins us.
Oh, Bills fan, Maggie Gray.
Yeah. Now, I was going to bring this up to you off air, but let me tell you the story real quick.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, I am on vacation. Like, this has happened to us a lot, right? Like, you're walking and you see, wait, is that so-and-so? No, it can't be.
I think you told me this.
Okay.
That you were in Nantucket?
Nantucket Sound, and town is Yarmouth. And I'm walking on the beach with Allie, my daughter, and it's a cloudy day, it's misting. And when somebody's coming at you the other direction, you only have like half a second to kind of like, you know, recognize. So I'm not like staring at somebody on the beach. It's literally like boom, boom, person walking by. And I thought, oh, that looks like, nah, it can't be. Like, and I just keep walking. And that's the last I thought of it. Until I get back from vacation and I hear Maggie Gray talking about her great vacation, the exact spot I was in. I literally walk by her.
That's funny.
So I don't, well, just want to establish the ground rules. I didn't big league her.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Because she doesn't know who you are. Oh, man. Did I big league somebody the other day? I was nervous that I may have big leagued somebody the other day. Oh, you know what it was? And he might even be listening right now, so let me apologize, because he's somebody that we know. He's somebody we used to work with. Witt. I saw Witt at the New York State Broadcasters Association awards luncheon last week, and Witt, you know, came up to me and I was surrounded by other people and kind of conversing with other people. It's like, man, I love listening to you guys. You still sound great. I listen to you every day. And I didn't really get a chance. And he's in our fantasy football league. I mean, I certainly could have engaged him. I thanked him and I tried to be gracious with it, but I also knew I was distracted.
Yeah.
So I wasn't fully engaged in my conversation with Witt, and I felt bad about it afterwards. And then immediately my mind thought, oh my God, did I just Battaglia Witt? Did I just big time Battaglia Witt? I didn't mean to do that. I hope he doesn't take it that way. He's one of my favorite people that we've worked with, and I know he listens to the show. So Witt, if you're listening, dude, if you felt I big timed you, please accept my apologies. That wasn't my intention. However, if it was Gene you were trying to talk to, it was absolutely his intention to big time you. Just like he did Maggie Gray.
While they were on vacation. Like you said, Maggie Gray wouldn't know. Yeah. She wouldn't know me for Matt. I only know her because, well, they're also, you know, on video and everything
stream,
else.
Yeah, they stream. Well, that'll be fun. Tomorrow, Maggie Gray joins us at 4:25 for Maggie and Perloff here on The Fan Rochester. And then we'll also get some winners for this weekend's action in pro and college football from PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In. And you mentioned Seth Payne Thursday.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Can I, before we go to break here, I just want to ask you the question I asked Matt Parrino, because, hey, this is just going to be louder and louder and louder. What should the Bills go shopping for the trade deadline? Is it a wide receiver? Matt says no. Pass rusher would be the top priority.
I feel like that's on. Like, that's absolutely right, because we know how important it is for Sean McDermott. It is defensive-minded head coach, is defense that he gets an adequate, you know, rush in either in the middle or on the edge. A.J. Epenesa feels like he's been invisible this year. That's a guy that you kept, you know, in free agency.
He's made
a play. Like, he makes, like, a play every other game. I feel like that's what I feel like with A.J. Epenesa. Rousseau, for as good as he was week one.
Yeah, like, look, nobody had a good game.
Yep.
Like the Ravens game. Like, who had a good game? Dorian Williams plays. Really? I saw Dorian Williams chasing Hill down that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just an overall poor performance, and the inconsistency in the middle of that defensive line with Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver, I think, is a massive concern.
I would say this. You're looking in the wrong direction if you're looking for Devontae Adams. I do think the Bills will be trying. They always do. But how many people, ourselves included, are like, oh my gosh, they got Rasul Douglas. Yes. Nobody. Nobody said that. It was more like, wow, he must not be good if the Packers are kind of giving up on him. You know what? He was as key as anybody on the back end.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Bills recognized it. And the thing was, Danger, he was somebody who had a contract that was, I can't remember if it was expiring or was set to expire one more year after that.
It was easy.
It was very easy. So you bring in an Adams, it's beyond this year. So you're going to bring in, I want to say rental, but like somebody that is going to be, you know, you can either easily move off of if you it does not work out.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you posted on what we hear, what we find out of Vegas with the Devontae Adams. It appears the Devontae Adams sweepstakes are officially on. We appreciate Matt Parrino stopping by to share the latest, his insights around the Bills as they get ready for their matchup in Houston against the Texans. You'll be able to hear that action with our pregame coverage starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, right after the Italian Carousel kickoff at 1 o'clock.
Well, make sure you get your soccer scores.
From Italy.
The latest.
Uh-huh. We're going to come back with some more next here on The Fan, including Michael F. Florio, talk some fantasy football, NFL Network. And if you think that Brandon Bean has mismanaged this roster or the Bills' salary cap in any way, shape, or form, and I know that I talk a lot about the dead cap and how the Bills have the second most dead cap in the league, but there is a team that committed roster management malpractice this offseason, and it is glaring, and it is so obvious going into this last offseason that they of all teams needed to address this position with great care, and they did not, and it is now biting them in the ass, and I will explain who that team is and why I expect changes.
Yeah, and crisis management. You're in a position, you're accused of a crime. You've been accused of betting on baseball.
Mm.
I mean, that's the lesson I hear. Look, we've gone a whole hour without talking. Like every other show in America has addressed Pete Rose and what did he kind of mean.
Can you explain Charlie Hustle to me? Because it was kind of like came up. I'm obviously aware of him, but I don't know the origin of Charlie Hustle. How does Pete Rose go from Pete Rose to Charlie Hustle?
You don't know the story?
No, I don't.
Okay. Charlie, he played in the league so long, okay? It's a spring training game. Of course I know this story, Danger.
That's why I'm asking. I'm going to the authority. I'm going to the authority.
It's a spring training game against the Yankees, Reds and Yankees, and Pete Rose goes in. Nobody knows this kid. He's 19 or whatever, and he draws a walk. And what do you do when you walk? You walk.
Yeah.
Except he runs down to first base. It's so Whitey Ford of the Yankees is on the bench right next to Mickey Mantle. It's like, look at Charlie Hustle here. Just like kind of mocking him.
Uh-huh.
And then that just kind of stuck. But then he took it kind of as a badge of honor kind of thing. Mm. Like, this is going to be my persona.
So his opponents dubbed him Charlie Hustle.
Yeah. And so every time he walked in his career, he actually ran down to first base.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that story. I was trying to figure out how he went from Pete Rose to Charlie Hustle because there's no connection there other than now it makes sense. Somebody mocking somebody saying, hey, look at this guy.
Here's the other thing, too, because the initial story I read in the New York Times, last night he graduates from high school. The Reds had drafted him. What does he do upon his graduation from high school? He books a flight to Rochester, New York.
What?
Rochester, New York, where then he takes a 45-minute drive to nearby Geneva, where he begins his minor league career.
All right, so Pete Rose is one of us. Rochesterian Pete Rose. You don't want that one?
I don't.
You don't want the hit king on our roster, on our ledger? You don't want that to claim that guy? We're so provincial.
It's the disease of Roger. Like, oh my gosh, they mentioned Rochester in the Pete Rose obit. I can't believe.
So great. We'll get into that and more next. Michael F. Florio also joining us next hour. We'll talk some fantasy football. 866-4FAN if you want to join us. 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.